Okay, we're on now. So I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight and call to order the April 23rd, 2015 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. I'd like to thank the staff at the Early College High School for hosting our meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, as many of you know, we recently lost one of our own, Mrs. Kate Church. She was a fourth grade teacher at Mill Valley. And at this time, I'd like everybody to join me in standing and observing a moment of silence for her. Thank you. And now we can remain standing and say our Pledge of Allegiance. There's a flag right over there on the screen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
This time, I need a recommendation to approve our agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have our Employee of the Month. So I'd like a motion to approve Candy Weichel as the classified employee for the month of March.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith and second by Mrs. Powers.
Oh, there you are. Come on up. I make you come up here and everyone gets to look at you while I talk about you. You can come up too, Amy. Really? You can come up too. So, certainly, if you know Candy, you are always greeted at Mill Valley with a smile and lots of personality. So I'm going to read some comments and kind of the reasons why people nominated and voted for you for this award. And it's your own peers, so I think that makes it even more special. The last 2 years, Candy has worked with two new principals at Mill Valley. She was new to the position also. She is a huge asset to Mill Valley Elementary. So I think that means you're really patient. If you can break into principles, you're okay. Upon starting this position, Candy has always been there to support in every way possible, from coming in on days off to help the PTO or helping in the student office. She's greatly appreciated. And I'm thankful every day that Candy is the secretary at Mill Valley. Her kind, trustworthy, and hardworking ways are exceptional. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
That's for you.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. So the motion carries. And thank you again, Candy. We really appreciate that. Next up, we have a hearing to discuss the issue of rehire of retired employees per Article 29 of the Master Agreement. So would you like to talk to this a little bit? I guess, yes. I'll list the teachers. We're talking about Mary Davis, staff development coach, who's looking to come back halftime, Judith Van Dusen, reading specialist, coming back halftime, and William Keck, vocational teacher, coming back full-time. And so I think part of that policy is just to bring that to the public attention, and if anybody would like to make any comments about the staff, then they're welcome to make those comments at this time outside of the public participation. It's kind of a special situation, so...
We're required to do that as part of the process for bringing them back as retired teachers.
Right.
So our commitment, as we've talked as a governing team, is to make that available for excellent teachers. And I would say the three people sitting here in the crowd definitely fit that mold. So
without a doubt.
There's the open opportunity for any others to speak at this time.
All right.
Very good.
Well, we're excited about the opportunity to have them continue to be able to teach our kids, so that's wonderful. Next up, we have some exciting presentations here, starting off with presentation of awards to state qualifiers. And so again, would you like to?
Sure. I think Aaron is going to take care of swimming. I'm going to come up first.
Actually, I think the board would like, you're going to make the presentation, but then we would like to get some pictures too. So I think if the board wants to head over towards that television, we're going to end up taking the pictures over there.
Oh, you want to do it that way?
Nope, presentation first, and then we'll do the picture. So we just want to get up and get all the moving out of the way now.
So a couple years ago, we started honoring athletes and extracurriculars that hit a state level competition. So, Gavin, this is for you, but I'm going to let Mr. Cook talk about the highlights of your season and why you're here tonight.
Certainly, having Gavin here, a phenomenal student athlete in our building and an upstanding citizen, just a first class student. But a few things about swimming in particular. So, he was elected by his teammates to be co captain of the boys' swimming team this past season. He led by example and set a new standard of excellence both in and out of the pool. Throughout the past season, Gavin established not one, not two, not three, but four new individual team records in the following events: 200 freestyle, 200 individual medley, 500 freestyle, and 100 backstroke. Additionally, he joined three of his teammates to set two additional relay records in the 200 medley relay and the 400 free relay. For the past two seasons, he has been awarded the boys' team's most valuable swimmer award, and he culminated his high school swimming career by finishing in 14th place in the 500 freestyle event at the Division I Ohio State High School Swimming and Diving Championships. He is the first Marysville High School swimmer to place in the top 16 at the state meet. So congratulations, Gavin.
Certainly, having the wrestling team or members of the wrestling team at this month's meeting is kind of becoming a tradition, so we're pretty excited about that. We placed as a team 10th in the state this year, which is huge. Narrow margin to 9th place, so I'm sure we're going to close that gap next year. And if you had the opportunity to be there, I mean, I was exhausted when I left because I feel like I wrestled just as hard as the two guys I watched. So I was in every move. I was right there. So certainly top class program represents our district very well. Coach Andrews, I'll let you introduce the boys.
So first of all, thank you. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, and the fact that you guys honor us at a board meeting is very special. I put a lot of emphasis. We travel all over the state in wrestling. We put a lot of emphasis on representing our community and our school, so that we really honored that you have us here for this. Jake Marsh, Jake is a freshman this year. He becomes only one up here. Jake was a state qualifier for this year as a freshman. He was only the 7th wrestler to qualify for the state tournament as a freshman in Marysville's history. So we've had a long line of success, and he's an elite company in qualifying as a freshman. I know, knowing Jake, he's a very driven individual, and I expect more from him in the next 3 years. So he had a great season. Alex Cepeda. Alex finished this year as a state runner-up at 160 pounds. Alex is the epitome of a student athlete. You know, I had the chance to say that last year about a couple other young men. He carries above a 4.0 GPA. He is qualified for the state tournament twice, and in the state of Ohio and the Coaches Association, if you have above a 3.5 GPA, you're considered Academic All-Ohio. So he's 2-time Academic All-Ohio, representing Marysville, and he's looking to pursue a degree in biomedical engineering at either Ohio State or Purdue. Taylor Romani. Taleb was the state champion at 152 pounds this year. He becomes the seventh state champion for Marysville and Marysville's history, and only the second wrestler ever to place at the state tournament all 4 years of his high school career. He placed fourth as a freshman, seventh as a sophomore, fourth as a junior, and was a state champion this year. Additionally, he was three-time academic All-Ohio. He carries above a 3.75 GPA, and I believe he's narrowed it down to Pittsburgh, where he's going to continue to study and wrestle pre-med with interest in pediatrics. So, Taleb Romani.
You to think the room, but they have to scoot out because not only have you been to the House of Representatives this week, and then tonight they're also being honored at City Council. So they're headed out the door to go to City Council.
Great. Okay, now next we're going to be recognizing our Good Apple Awards, and there's quite a few of those, so I think I'm just going to call like a brief little recess at the end so that we can make sure that we get pictures and, have a chance to congratulate all of you individually as well. So with that, let's see. I'm trying to think who we are starting with. Board Office. First one on the list?
Well, sure. What I'd like to do, too, is just have the principals come up here and line up, and then we'll just go in whatever order you're lined up, and that typically makes it
a little smoother.
Better.
Right.
Then I also don't forget someone because I didn't make a list.
Alphabetically, please. No.
Here on behalf of the principal. Okay. Canale.
You look just like
I'm Mr. Canale.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Scott McLemore, if you'd like to come up. We're starting with the board office tonight. Mm-hmm. Scott McLemore is, has been, actually, you probably think he's a Marysville school employee at times in the past year, right?
Yes.
Scott is our engineer that we work directly with from Honda, who has helped us design the school, build all the curriculum, help us with making connections with vendors and different connections for kids and students and feedback for teachers and has helped develop our teacher that we have on staff that's using all the manufacturing equipment, and the list could go on and on. So I'm definitely lucky to have him as a part of our team. We're actually going to try to get him an office in this building. So it's been a huge asset to our district and real benefit to our students here at this building to have him on board. So I have a little gift for you somewhere.
Oh, wow.
I'm still waiting on my Accord or
something. Yeah, NSX, Diane. You need that for the NSX.
I think we're down for the NSX. So
yeah.
Thank you for giving me enough to express how much your partnership has meant for us. So thank you. Introducing yourself and the building.
I'm Aaron Cook. I'm the principal of Marysville High School. And Dave Desmira, if you want to come up to join us. Dave, he's affectionately known by many of our students and also our ag teachers, and Ashley and Bill can speak to this, as Greenhouse Dave. So I'm going to read a few words. I was going to have Ashley do this, but she's going to get out of it. He's certainly an integral part of the department down there. He puts in countless hours right along with our teachers, into the wee hours of the evening. If you don't know, we have a greenhouse in the back of our building that our ag department uses and our students work with. And so the partnership with Greenhouse Day began about 8 years ago, and it continues to grow stronger every year. So it happened by chance. They were looking for resources for the greenhouse they were building, and one of the advisors made a call to the Leo Burby Ball Company, and he answered the phone. And ever since that day, he's been stuck with us. And it was his first year. So he worked side by side with our students, giving them the important relationship. Sometimes kids feel like teachers don't always know what they're talking about because we've only been in the classroom. And so we have somebody working beside our kids, talking with our kids, that actually is out in the workforce doing this stuff for a living. And it continues to grow. So we appreciate all you do, whether it's with the greenhouse, our fruit sale, bulb sale, the advisory committee. It's just a number of different things that you continue to help out with. Is there anything I'm missing, Ashley and Bill?
Nobody works great with the kids, and we've been making money ever since the day.
And that goes right back to the students. Yeah. So thank you very much. Well, we appreciate all you do.
Appreciate it.
I'm Kathy McInnes. I'm the principal at the Early College High School here, and Mr. Bruce Daniels is our Good Apple Award winner, but he could not be here this evening, but I still want to talk about him, because even before we opened our doors, he has been so supportive of our program. Last summer, we had a summer bridge program for our incoming freshmen, and we wanted to have a very cool project that they could work on in a design challenge. And so what we needed were some very cool Honda cars. And he went out of his way to bring four cars over, drive them over, let our kids climb all over them. Every time I was wigging out about, wait, don't hurt the cars. But he brought them to us. He has been with us in every step. And as we opened a new building, it was very gratifying to have somebody so supportive of what we were trying to do and so supportive of what our kids were trying to accomplish. And so I am very grateful to him, and I will make sure he gets his little gift. So thanks for listening to me. I'm Michelle Kaufman-Barber. I'm the principal at Bunsell Middle School. And Bunsell Middle School would like to recognize two individuals tonight. So if I could have Kaylee Port and Heather Ferguson please come up. All right, you're on front center, right? There we go. So the first person I'd like to present this award to is Heather Ferguson. She's been a go-to parent at both the 7th and 8th grade level at Bunsell Middle School. As a 7th grade parent under the direction of librarian Gerald Jenkins a year ago, now she is an 8th grade parent, she helped assisted with our book fair and ran promotional advertising, set up, tear down, all of those kinds of items, all volunteer work. She also assisted in both grades at various team events. Whenever something in the form of parental volunteering, all you had to do was ask Heather, and she was like, right on board. I got it. I'm on it. She has been very active in the athletic arena as well. She has helped us with the athletic boosters. She's been an arm. She's there to run concession stands. She is there all the time to help support our students whenever we needed her to support that. So I want to say thank you to Heather for helping us out in all your volunteer efforts. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Tonight is Kaylee Port. It's kind of in a little bit of a different arena. Sometimes when you talk about volunteer and what she does, she helps in a different way for us, but it's been fantastic. She has presented for our students several times in both the 7th and 8th grade science classrooms. At the 7th grade level, she demonstrates a groundwater, if I'm wrong about this, she'll tell me, a groundwater simulator and in EnviroScape, yeah. So students have a better understanding of how pollutants pass through our world. A few years ago, you had a very instrumental part in writing a grant, I believe, if that's right, for Nets, Boots, right? Yeah. And chemical testing kits for 7th grade students to go out and help with that. And that was in part of replacing things that were worn out and well used. Currently at the 8th grade, she's provided classroom assistance in both watershed resources and natural resource conservation. She works closely with our staff and students to share her expertise in watershed management and to work as stream tables, study erosional forces. In addition, Kaylee helps to explain various conservation strategies that students can use to make an impact in the environment. She has been an outstanding asset to us as she's been able to participate both in the 7th grade and 8th grade with our kiddos, and we appreciate what Kaylee has done for us also at Bunsell Middle School. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Missy Hacken, the principal of Northwood Elementary. Angela, will you come on up here? I'd like to talk about Angela Gillette Hill. And one of the things that makes Angela so special that for all of our staff and our students, and there's her son Hayden back there. At Northwood, we're always teaching about having community projects and getting involved. Angela and her son and their Boy Scout unit, they wanted to get involved, so they started collecting pop tabs. And we continue to be one of the big numbers and of getting pop tabs in, and all that goes to Children's Hospital, Ronald McDonald House, and the Boy Scouts were the top 10 collectors, so we were really proud of their efforts. And Angela's great about community, you know, making sure that she's getting in with those community service projects. One of the other things, Angela made sure all of our kids got free meals at Applebee's for our readathon, and also for special events, for good citizens and other events we have to honor students' hard work. And the other thing about Angela, if it's field day water balloons, or if it is Secret Santa, or making creative crafts, her marshmallow shooters are quite awesome. Angela is the one I can call and go, "Hey, I need help." And she's like, "What time?" And so, you know, she's loved by all the staff and the kids, and we hate to lose her. Hayden's going to Creekview next year. A good one to get a hold of. She's just awesome, and she's just part of our family, and we're very appreciative, and we just would like to celebrate all of her efforts.
I'm David Hensinger. I'm the principal at Edgewood Elementary, and our Good Apple Award winner is Becky Turk. So come on up here and join me. Mrs. Turk has been a valuable member of the Edgewood family for the last several years, and she's had three sons attend our school. The youngest now is Grant, who's sitting right over there. He's taking a video. Over the years, she's consistently volunteered to be a copy mom at our building. This is not a glamorous job, but Mrs. Turk has always made it one of her ways to give back to the Edgewood community and help serve the Edgewood students. She's very proactive, reliable, and consistent with what she does inside of our building. Edgewood teachers, and this is some of the things that they shared too as well, they're always thrilled to have a Turk child in their room, is how they described it, because they know that they'll get the privilege to work with Becky. So that was something that they all shared with me. Not only has Becky helped Edgewood students grow over the years, she has also helped staff members grow, too. Mrs. Turk has made sure that teachers were fed very well on conference nights. Every year for the last 5 years, Becky's been part of that. She's delivered the food on those nights and generally makes sure that everything runs smoothly for the staff and that everybody is well taken care of. My staff also wanted to make sure that I mentioned that Becky, not only does she help provide the food, but she's an amazing home cook, and they're going to miss all the food that was always sent in and sent them running to the lounge. So. She's a friendly face throughout the years at Edgewood, and everybody is going to miss her very dearly, and the whole family. So.
Thank you very much.
I'm Amy McGlynn, the principal at Mill Valley. I'd like Michelle McKinney to come on up, and I'd also like for Mrs. Logel to come on up, because, you know, Mrs. Logel has done the Good Apple at Mill Valley for many, many years, and even though it's my first year, this is her last year, so I wanted to honor her in helping us at Mill Valley.
Between us here. Yes, thank you.
Am I allowed to interrupt?
You are.
Jesse Cepeda thought these were for him.
I've served on this committee since its inception. I think Dick Smith used to think it was called the Bad Apple, but that's because it was Adam and Eve back in his day. We've changed it to the Good Apple, and Lynn and I have served on that since the very first year it was indoctrinated. And so, Lynn, on behalf of some of us that have served, don't cry, you're going to be fine. We wanted to give you this and wish you the very best. And there's an apple, don't let Dick near it.
As I love and adore Mrs. McKinney, we can share this together.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that this is like my favorite evening of the year, because these people mean so much to our community and our school and our district, and I just treasure this night. So I may have to come back next year.
We will.
It'd
be great.
Come back. But what a way to end my time with volunteers than to honor Michelle McKinney, who has lived in Marysville for about 11 years with her husband Mark, and we've had the pleasure of having both of her daughters at our school. We still have one more year with the youngest one, so we're thrilled that you'll be with us another year. And she and volunteers on a weekly basis in her daughter's classroom, whichever classroom they have been in. She's always been there and volunteering for that. She has volunteered and co-chaired and chaired the Market Day program, which has provided funds for our PTO organization. And she's also volunteered for the book fairs, our Scarecrow Night, and our Spring Flower fundraisers. She's volunteered for our annual holiday jubilee for several years, and she co-chaired that this year. And each spring, Michelle has been a very familiar face at our school every morning when we have our special friends breakfast, where students can bring someone special to them, or grandparents or parents, and they can show them our school. She's always there to greet our parents. And one of her favorite, or maybe her favorite, event to volunteer for is Field Day. She says, these are her words, it's a blast. And we have blasting all that water, don't we? Right. We do. So it's coming up real soon again, so we'll be ready for it. We'll be ready. And at Mill Valley, we do think it's also a blast having her with us each week and all throughout the year. And we just are very, very thankful for her dedication to our school. We can't do it without all of the volunteers. It just would not be what we are. And so it is with great pleasure that we pay tribute to you tonight, Michelle McKinney.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My name is Lynette Lewis. I'm the principal at Navin, and we're here tonight to honor our Good Apple Award winner, Carol Kuzak. Carol, come on up. And Carol has been a fixture for many years at Navin in a multitude of opportunities. She has tutored in our classrooms. She has been a part of our PTO, coordinating volunteers, helping with carnival and movie night and field day and just everything under the sun. And so we are sad because Jonathan, her son, is going to be leaving us at the end of this year to go on to Creekview. Now, one thing Carol does, though, and that she's really famous for, is our book fairs. And I would say most of our kids call Carol the book lady. She's really become so creative with our book fairs. We did so many cool things this year. Kids came to breakfast so they could shop at the book fair, and they were serial readers. And then we had a hero night where some of our community heroes came and read to the kids. Just a lot of creativity there. And one of the most things that touches my heart the most is that she makes sure every single year that books get into the hands of those kids that can't afford them or might not otherwise have them. And they are so excited. Like, I couldn't get any work done last week because they're all showing me their books, and I'm thinking, when is book fair over? And if you don't think she really loves literacy and reading and books, then let me tell you this. After Jonathan moves on next year, Carol's still going to oversee our book fair at Naven. So wow. All three of them. So we you mean the world to us, and thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Carol Lentz, principal at Raymond Elementary, and I have the honor of honoring Carrie Grome. She is our PTO president this year. We'll have Carrie come on up. Yeah, you get to stand up in front of everybody. At least we're together, right? Carrie's actually a Marysville girl, and I think one of the things, I've been in the district for a while, but once I started talking to Carrie, come to find out, she was actually at Edgewood when I taught there. So I was like, no. She's like, I think so. I got out my yearbook, and sure enough, there she was, Carrie Hobbs, grinning all over the place. So anyway, yes, and just the moral of the story, I am old, but we love having Carrie in the building. I can tell you, we couldn't do half of the things at Raymond without the wonderful support of our parents. Carrie, is our PTO president. She actually started on the board a few years ago. We nominated her one night when she wasn't even on the board, wasn't even there. And we said, hey, she would be a good one. Let's go after her. So, and graciously, she accepted. She started out as our vice president, and then this year took over the role as our president of the PTO. Just worked, like I said, tirelessly. I just love watching her bring her business skills to the table. If you ever want to come and see a PTO meeting that is run efficiently, Jonathan was there, efficiently, effectively, she uses her skills as a moderator, and we are done in an hour. I'm like, wow, I love you. You're never leaving. We're in, we're out. She lets me spend money. So that's what I love. I brought to the table just an idea. Our outside, the landscaping, kind of needs some love. It's a little bit of TLC. So I kind of sprung it on them and just said, hey, guys, what do you think? Is there any way you'll sponsor, a Raymond Beautification Day? And they were all on board. Carrie already called. She's got mulch. She's got people. I mean, it's just amazing. I can't thank her enough for all that she does, not only because it's for her kids, but for all of the kids at Raymond. We don't always have as many volunteers because we are a smaller school, but let me tell you what, the ones we have are mighty, and they get the job done. So thank you so much.
I had to go last. I'm not the principal, but I'm the next best thing, I guess. Allie, could you come up, please? Allie, her card. Okay, this is the good news. I have nothing to read from. I have not a lot to say because I'm not prepared, because this was a last-minute thing that Mr. Canale couldn't make it, and he's very bummed he couldn't be here. But I am in charge of Good Apple for our school, so I'll be doing this again at Creekview. But the good news is, Mrs. Ravencraft, our librarian, nominated Allie and has been wanting to do this for a while now. She couldn't make it either, but she told me when I told her that we were going to recognize her as a staff, she goes, she will not want to do that. She will just, freeze up if she has to stand in front of people and be talked about. So the good news is I don't have a lot to say, since I wasn't prepared, so this is a win-win. But I do know what I hear about you on and on and on from both Mr. Canale and Mrs. Ravencraft, and she is our book fair queen. So we've talked about book fair tonight, but honestly, it would not run without her. She makes it seem effortless, and when you think about it, we all benefit from the book fair. We raise a lot of money. The kids, it's like they're shopping. It's like Christmas to them, and how cool is that the kids still view books as, a prize or a gift or something that they really treasure. the teachers, we can make wish lists and things, and they have all sorts of opportunities for us to have people donate to our classroom, and we really appreciate that. This is not an easy task. I mean, it lasts for a while. There's a lot of overseeing. It's not just every day at school. It's the conference evenings. But it goes off without a hitch, and I'm pretty sure and told that that's because of you and your efforts. So
there's a lot of behind-the-scenes people.
Well, I know. See, again, she doesn't want to take all the credit. But
Carol, I trained Carol well. See, look at how Nathan's grown.
There you go.
That's where I started.
Okay, great. There you go. But I feel fortunate to be here, to be the one that does this. And it's been really fun because I'm seeing all these prior parents and students, and it's crazy. And we're getting so many good families at Creekview. I mean, how many of you said we're losing them this year? So, and we're probably losing, yes.
We're going into them.
Well, somebody's loss is always somebody else's gain, right? So we really, really appreciate you. Thanks, Allie.
If we could have all of the Good Apple awardees, I think we'll come on over here where we've got a little bit more space, because we would like to congratulate you as well. And I know, speaking on behalf of the board, you represent so many hours of volunteering that, it leaves me speechless. So we're very honored to recognize you tonight.
And be employed.
Yeah.
this fellow in the red.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We need still need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Shelton, ready? Well, that's why. You know, that's what I said. We're just going to have a little bit of a break. Get the pictures.
All right.
Okay. All right. I think we are ready to move on with the agenda.
Hello. Hello.
We're going to move on with the agenda now, please.
You need a gavel.
I know.
Gavel.
I do.
Hello.
Business portion of our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
It's that high school principal voice.
That's okay. Right. Next up, we have a presentation from SAC, our school age child care program.
Hi.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Well, I hear that I'm only allowed to talk for like 5 or 10 minutes. Is that right?
Well, how much of a presentation
like
you have prepared?
2 hours?
Well, yeah, maybe a little shorter.
There are usually three
shorter.
Things that I talk about, and my staff that are here can attest to this. I talk about my kids, and I talk about how I work out, and I talk about after school. Those are my three favorite things. So tonight I'm here to talk to you guys about after school. I'm going to give you a brief overview of what goes on in the after school programs. You know, we kind of operate on the periphery of the school district because we operate during those times that no one else is in the building. Our teachers are on their way in or on their way out. They're home for snow days. They're at home because it's not a district work day. My staff are in the buildings at Navin, at Mill Valley, at Northwood, doing their after school program. So it's kind of hard for people to understand exactly what goes on in after school. A lot of times they think that it's just babysitting or that we're just there wrangling the kids to make sure they don't hurt themselves or anyone else. But really what's happening is that we are providing high-quality youth development programming that are focused on literacy and STEM and social-emotional competencies in our kids. We enhance what goes on during the day, and we offer a chance for kids to have a lot of different things. In fact, Here's the mission of our after-school programs: to provide outstanding out-of-school programs for the families in the Marysville School District in an emotionally and physically safe environment that focuses on education, health and wellness, service to others, and fun. And those last four things, we often refer to them as the pillars that support our mission statement. So we want to make sure that we are very frequently offering things that are educational in nature, things that serve our health and wellness policies, things that help serve our community, and also things that the kids really like and really get engaged in. When parents ask us what goes on in after school, because, you know, they call in and they think about signing their kid up, and they're like, what's so great about your program? There are four main things that I usually hit on with them. First of all, we have 30 minutes of physical activity in our morning and afternoon session. We do a healthy snack option morning and afternoon. We have an opportunity for homework completion in the after school program. And then finally, a youth development activity of some sort is offered every day. Some examples of the physical activity that we do. Well, first of all, I should say that Marysville SAC offering 30 minutes of physical activity in the morning and afternoon, that's not typical in after school, but it is recommended by the Ohio After School Network's quality after school guidelines. And so to do that moderate to vigorous physical activity that includes a warm-up, a staff activity, a student activity, and a cool-down, that's sort of above the line. And we do it a variety of ways. Here you'll see Mill Valley doing Dance Dance Revolution in the entryway there with their Wii. We take the kids on field trips where they get to have lots of physical activity like roller skating and ice skating and all kinds of different things like that. And then you'll see one of our staff here who's also a rugby coach teaching our kids the new sport of rugby. Staff are always engaged in these activities. I know that when I go over there and I see kids like at Northwood, they're like, we're so glad you're here, Miss H, because we know we're going to play kickball today. Like, that's a lock. They know that. And I'm not anything special. All my staff always have the things that they like to do with the kids, and they really get engaged in them. We have lots of healthy snack options. We try to get the kids to help us prepare them and suggest what they should be. Lots of fruits and vegetables, always low-fat milk. We have a no candy, no sugar, no pop policy in our after-school program. We don't ever give them candy as a reward. We don't serve any trans fats in our program. And we continue this through the summer when we offer our lunch program for our day camp students. We do a home-cooked meal every day for them and still offer a morning and an afternoon snack. And I'm really proud of that. We also have our opportunity for homework. Our parent advisory committee that meets regularly and talks to us about what they want in after school, homework completion is pretty important. And it's also, I know, pretty important to the school district and to the teachers in the building. So we make sure that kids have a chance to sit down, get done what they need to get done. We have staff that are there to provide support and answer questions, but a lot of times it's like, we're pretty sure you know how to do this. We're just going to be the ones that help you through it. So that's one thing that's really great about the SAC program. I can't say enough about the quality youth development programs that we offer in our after-school program. You see lots of things up here, a variety of things that we do, collaborative STEM activities that we do with the kids. Down there at the bottom, you see a presentation for our student who participated in our SAC for Hearts marathon walking. She actually walked 2 marathons in the amount of time that we gave them to walk one, so she got an award. Down in the corner is Kim Jarvis, who was our Outstanding Community Partner of the Year. Kim comes and brings her dogs to our after-school programs, and our students get a chance to sit down and read with the dogs and also sometimes teach them tricks and other things like that. That's pretty fun. Dr. Insecta comes during our summer camp program, teaches the kids about insects and all kinds of great science-y kind of things. And then, of course, in the corner, my favorite, creaking at Sharon Woods Central Park. I think that's where we were. We took them there on a field trip for one of our super school days off programs that we run during our staggered starts. We have a long field trip on that day so that we were out of the building. That was a lot of fun, too. If you had to ask me what I'm most proud of about the SAC program this year, these are my top 5 things. Interestingly enough, Yvonne Overfield, my assistant, and well, she does everything. she and I usually sit around about this time of year when we have our quarterly staff meeting, and we say, what are the things that we celebrate? We make a whole page full of things that we decide that we're proud of, and these are my top 5. First of all, SAC celebrated with a red carpet event our 25 years of after-school excellence in our community, providing outstanding out-of-school programs for Marysville schools. That was a really big deal for us. Everybody got to get dressed up and come over, and all the students made videos that talked about what they liked about after-school. And so that was really super fun. We did that at the high school. The second thing that I'm really proud of is our first annual base race, our Soapbox Derby, All-American Soapbox Derby Gravity Racing Challenge that we had over at the high school a couple weeks ago. Our elementary school students got to work with their parents to put together mini cars to do a mini car race, and we had about 37 students participate in the mini car race, and that was really cool, and we're looking forward to the Columbus race coming up here in a couple weeks, and then also taking a group of students to Akron to race in the All-American Soapbox Derby on Derby Hill. So we're excited about that. The Union County School-Age Child Care Collaborative is I'm a founding member of that. It really sounds fancy, but actually what it is me and Amy Balderson and Marissa Blaylock from the YMCA. We're the 3 after-school providers in our community, the major ones. And so the 3 of us have gotten together now, and this is probably the 4th year that we have collaborated on a bunch of different things, staff training for summer camp field trips. You know, my camps can't sustain bringing COSI in. It's just outside of my financial budget. But if the Y does it and then we pay to go there, and Amy does too, then we can kind of cut the cost. So we've done some things like that. We're looking to create a pool of substitute staff for after-school programs here in Marysville because we know that the need is out there and that we have the resources. So that's some things. We decided this year we're going to be called the USAC Collaborative, so that's kind of fancy. But I am proud of that because we've been working hard towards that. We've been on the front page of the Journal Tribune and about 12 times this year, front page above the fold. And that's important to me because I think that people don't know the great things that go on in after school, because if you have never worked in after school and you're not a kid in after school, you have no idea what's happening behind those closed, locked doors. And they're locked for security, but unfortunately that doesn't let the community in. So I think it's really important. I mean, like Taylor Evans is
my best friend ever. I call her all the time, and Will does too, and says, hey, come out, we're doing something great. And she always does and puts us on the front page. And oh my gosh, it's just fantastic. The kids get excited. I get excited. It's awesome. And then I think one of the best things is that we're financially stable. The SAC program has worked hard for this. When I first started this job 7 years ago, when we had a triple pay in a month, we couldn't make payroll. Now we're sitting, at $540,000. You know, that's what our budget is, our expenses annually. So, you know, we're doing really great with that, and I'm super proud of it. Next slide. So some people always ask, what's the difference between SAC and BASE? Like, is BASE babysitting for middle school kids? No, it's really not babysitting for after school kids, and SAC isn't babysitting either. SAC serves our K-6 kids. It's parent pay, and there's some ODJFS funding that's involved in there for publicly funded kids. It makes up about 5% of our income, closer to 10% during summer camp. It's really highly youth development focused. And we're also focused on asset building, 40 developmental assets for students, internal and external assets. That's how we develop our youth development programming. Whereas BASE is for only our middle school kids, 7th and 8th. It's grant-funded by the Ohio Department of Education. It focuses a lot on tutoring. There's actually tutoring from Bonsold staff and some other teachers, and all those ladies standing back there are our BASE tutors that are here tonight. And there's an opportunity for homework, but the focus is really on the tutoring. And then the STEM activities that we do, I had a couple of them set up there. I mean, the soapbox derby cars out there, and some things from Bike Shop are out there too. And then we've got our three primary performance outcomes. Hey, Nicole, would you do a favor? Would you, right outside under that yellow toolbox is a handout that I wanted to make sure everybody had a copy of tonight. On one side are the 40 developmental assets, the internal and external assets, just that way you guys are familiar with them. And on the opposite side are our primary performance outcomes for our grant, the things that we're really trying to achieve with the students. Great job, Nicole. This is Nicole. She's my fabulous assistant. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. I'll
take one of these and pass them down. So these are a few things that go on at the BASE program. Bike Shop, of course, Movie Gears Bike Shop, are a charity organization where people donate bikes to us, and our middle school kids fix them up and then give them away to the Hope Center. Students know how to calibrate brakes. They know how to work on the bottom bracket. They know how to true a wheel. They know how to, oh my gosh, they know all kinds of stuff. Use a third hand. They can use I could go on and on. They're really knowledgeable. They're super fun to work with. They're hilarious kids, and are really invested in it. In the bottom is the Dog Scouts program. Kim Jarvis also comes to BASE, and she brings in her trained therapy dogs, and our students teach them how to do tricks but also learn how to work with them. And then up in the corner is a shot from last year's Columbus race, our soapbox derby kiddos. They work, and there's a video around here somewhere about soapbox derby. I think it might be later on here, but if you guys ever want to know exactly what goes on, Susie does a great job. Susie Claridge is one of our BASE coaches for soapbox derby, and she does a great job of explaining, you know, exactly what the kids are getting out of it. But even though I say we've got all kinds of great youth development programming, I'm here to tell you we have the best staff in after school anywhere. And I see a lot of staff in after school. I'm here to say they are invested in the program. They are dedicated to our parents. They are youth development experts. They understand how to increase those social competencies that our students need to be successful. They have great behavior management skills. They are outstanding at planning those youth development activities and engaging students. I cannot say really enough fantastic stuff about the staff that we have. And we don't see them because they're in after school and no one's in the building. And some of them are here tonight, and I thank you guys for coming and supporting us tonight. But just a little bit about our financial forecast. So we're pretty healthy with our budget for SAC, and that is why we're trying to add in another full-time employee next year. And that person will be in charge of curriculum planning and heavy on the literacy and heavy on STEM. That will free up some of our team leaders then to get more invested in the buildings to understand exactly what's going on a little bit better and connect with those principals. BASE is entering the fourth year of a five-year grant cycle. So sustainability is really a hot topic. Will and I talk about this all the time.
We will be looking to reapply for the 21st Century Community Learning Center grant at the end of our grant cycle. But in the meanwhile, our funds continue to deplete. Years 1, 2, and 3, we have $200,000. Entering into year 4, we've got $150,000, and then our last year, we've only got $100,000. So we've cut $50,000 out of our after-school budget in the middle school program this year. And it was tough to figure out where we wanted to take that. I think in the future, probably blended funding through grants and community partners and through the school district will be the way that we fund this program if we're not re-granted. But we have seen a surge lately in volunteerism and sponsorship. We're starting to include volunteerism as a requirement for our after-school program. Parents who need to come in and they need to give back in some capacity. Will is really championing that too, starting with our 3-week summer camp program that we're going to do. And then also we have found that a lot of individual companies like Univenture, Honda, and Kroger, different places like that are interested in sponsoring things. Like they'll sponsor a car for Soapbox Derby. So if we can kind of start there and then snowball that a little bit, I think that we will get where we need to go. I'm very confident that this program is going to continue. It's needed in our community. If you read our Youth Risky Behavior Survey, you know that kids need this. We seem to collect in the after-school program students who are the at-risk students, the ones who are on IEPs and 504s and free and reduced and who just have that social need to belong somewhere. So, the base tutors are rock stars in that component, managing those at-risk students. So that's a little bit, I guess, in a nutshell about after-school, what goes on in the SAC and base programs. And then I would just ask if anybody had any questions. I'd be happy to field them at this time. Or I can talk for 2 more hours.
I always enjoy your presentations. I remember the first time you came to present when I was on the board, and I was like, wow, she's got a lot of energy.
Well, that was when I was trying to get the grant.
Yes.
Right? So now I'm a little bit, I think I'm a little calmer because now I have the grant. I've done all the work for the grant. So now I'm calming down just a little bit.
Not too much. Not too much. Right.
No. Don't calm down too much.
All right.
Your energy for the program is great.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sounds wonderful. Does anyone have any questions?
No. You should come out to after school and see what is going on.
Which buildings again are do you have the SAC at every building?
SAC is at all the elementary schools in Creekview too. And then base is at Bunsold.
Right.
Okay. So the only place we're not is at high school.
And the hours are?
We operate from 6:30 AM until school begins, which varies at buildings. And then from dismissal until 6 PM.
All right.
And during the summer we go 6A to 6P. And when school is closed for emergency weather days, we go 6A to 6P.
Right.
And when school is closed because of a district holiday, we go 6A to 6P.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'd just like to share that I have a granddaughter that's in SAC program at Mill Valley. And again, it's been an experience she's been in for 4 years. And there's no question it's a good program. So I wanted to let you know that.
I like hearing the fact that you're collaborating with regular daytime staff too.
Yeah,
I mean that's and even like in your little presentation on here, you're talking about how you're following the district's strategic plan and
we're focusing on
those kinds of things. So
right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Did we have any public participation tonight?
No.
Nope. All right. Then we are ready to move on to the superintendent's report.
Okay, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that have taken place since we were last together. If you didn't have the opportunity to attend, the college fair at the high school was amazing. Over 100 colleges were represented.
Mm-hmm.
Packed, full house, great participation, great collaboration from the high school with other area high schools. So fantastic night. Also, there was a Japanese culture night that was a huge success. I was unable to attend, unfortunately. But again, packed house. It was a good fundraiser for our students who are going to Japan in just a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to talk about TPP?
Yes.
Then I'll take that off mine. Also, on the Japanese side of things, new program to us, as you know, We're going to go ahead and do our collaboration with North Union again. So currently North Union students distance learn into our classrooms for Japanese. And one of our teachers goes up to North Union and works with their students a couple times a week. So we're going to continue that. And then also the Japanese program received a $20,000 grant from Honda to help support the exchange program with Yori. So that will also help cover costs when the Yori students come to Marysville next year, and it will help offset some of the costs for our students going this year. So pretty excited to have that support as well. Also, the Early College High School received an innovation grant in partnership with Central Ohio STEM Schools. That is an innovative grant to look at other types of tests. They had to write up a Beyond the Park and the state test, so they had to write up a proposal. Their proposal included using ACT end of course exams as their measure, as well as they are going to create a common rubric between all the STEM schools in Central Ohio. The common rubric will be what does the performance-based side look like. So all schools may have a different project, but they're going to have a common rubric. Rubric for grading. So they're talking about sharing best practices, having those teachers collaborate across districts. So pretty excited for that opportunity as well. Also, I just wanted to publicly say how proud I am at the school district for receiving Business of the Year from the Union County Chamber of Commerce. It was a great celebration, I felt like, great dinner, and certainly something for us to be very proud of and add to our list of accomplishments.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any questions? No? How about Treasurer's Report, Mr. Johnson? This is going to be exciting.
Yeah. We need to put in the clear at the end, right?
We have some students in the crowd. Are you here for a class?
Yes.
Whose class are you here for?
Mrs. Sundermeyer.
I think he sends kids every year. So what are you picking up on? What you're learning today?
We're learning basically what goes on in one of these.
What's talked about during the meeting, I guess. You guys can explain that better, what we have. Reports about what are currently happening, like with the SAC program, and about our accomplishments from the superintendent's report.
And all the different hot topics of this time.
Mm-hmm. Make sure Mr. Sundermeyer knows I called on you, okay?
He can listen to the videotape
right.
of the report, and your voice will be on there.
Well, the room really cleared out. I assumed everyone was here to hear the forecast. I don't know if I should wait for people to come back or just...
Okay. I'll go ahead.
So I'm presenting the May 2015 five-year forecast update. We presented this to the Finance Committee... not last Monday, but the prior Monday. And that presentation went well there. The Finance Committee asked a lot of good questions, but you know, I think thought the forecast was reasonable. Looking at the revenue versus expenditures, the blue line is our revenue, red is our expenditures. You can see that in the first 4 years of the forecast, we have revenues exceeding expenditures. And in the last year, just by a little bit, you'll see the expenditure line actually goes above the revenue line. And that's going to be a potential result of the state budget that we're talking about right now. So I'll hit that here in a little bit. Ending balance is our green line there. You'll see it trending upward, which is always a good thing. Then at the tail end of the forecast in fiscal year 19 starts to dip just slightly. But overall, a very healthy ending balance through all 5 years of the five-year forecast. This graph here looks at the board-approved ending cash balance policy. Two different criteria we need to meet there. The first, we've got the dotted line equates to the ending cash balance. And as I mentioned before, you can see the upward trend there. And as part of the cash balance policy, the ending balance needs to exceed 1 month of expenditures throughout the forecast. The blue line there equates to 1 month of expenditures, right around $4 million. So you can see the forecast meets that criteria of the cash balance policy. The second criteria looks at revenue versus expenditures. And you can see the green line there is our 1% expenditure target. And in the first 4 years of the forecast, we do have revenue exceeding expenditures. So the first 4 years do meet the cash balance policy. But in that fifth year, expenditures exceed revenue just slightly above the 1%. So that part of the forecast, fiscal year 19, does not meet the cash balance policy. It is slight, and there's still a lot of changes that we don't know for sure with the state budget, so I don't think we need to sound any alarms just yet, but definitely something we'll need to keep an eye on. Looking at general fund revenues, we were pretty much on target with our projections. They came in higher than projected. A big part there, you can see that about 47% of our revenue comes from local sources, from our local taxpayers. About 53% comes from state sources. When I get to the next slide, we'll show how that could potentially change. The most significant change in fiscal year 15 compared to the October forecast would be in our tax collections. With the economy turning around, we saw some significant increases in our valuations, and I'll talk about that a little more on another slide. Go ahead to the next one. So this slide looks at our local versus state funding. The orange bars represent our local revenue, and you can see it's relatively flat, just with a slight upward trend. That's based on our valuations, and as I mentioned, we're predicting modest increases. We had a nice little bump this year. And the red line is our state revenue, our state foundation funding, our TPP reimbursement, those kinds of things. You'll notice a significant increase in fiscal year 16 and 17. That's based on our assumptions for the state budget for the next biennium. For fiscal year 14 and 15, we actually saw a nice little increase as well. A much needed increase, and if we had actuals from further back, you would see it was the first significant increase we'd had in many years. That was based on the current biennial budget. The biennial budget that's being talked about right now, the governor's version proposed a 10% increase in the cap, so which would have went to a 10% increase for our foundation funding. The House version that they just approved, That went from 10% down to 7.5%. So that change cost us $1 million in the 2 years of that biennial budget. Now, the forecast, I had already assumed 8%. So I already thought that 10% would probably come down. So the forecast is still, relatively close to what's at the House. But that budget bill has now moved on to the Senate. So, we'll stay tuned and, keep pushing to benefit our district. The other big piece of the state budget is the TPP, the Tangible Personal Property Reimbursement. So far, the governor's version and the House version are both calling for the phase out of TPP. you might have seen some newspaper articles that talk about the House version and the hold harmless provision and how that's good news for school districts. And I think it was, you know, purposely worded that way, but it's really not, the permanent fix that we need. For two main reasons, it really doesn't benefit Marysville. First off, it's only a Band-Aid. It's only a temporary fix. It does not take the phase-out out of law. So as soon as this biennium is over, that phase-out would kick right in. It's still in law, so the TPP would still go away. Secondly, the hold harmless only applies to districts who are losing money. So they're combining the state part, the state foundation money, and the TPP money together. And if as a district you're losing money, then the hold harmless kicks in. And I guess we're fortunate with this budget in the 2 years to actually get an increase on the foundation side. But with that happening, we get no hold harmless on the TPP. The TPP will go away. So, and we're going to be making sure our legislators understand that, you know, this isn't really helping us at all, and we need to find a permanent fix for the TPP phase out, or to prevent the TPP phase out. Okay, this slide you've seen 100 times, but, you know, just again talks about the payment of personal property taxes being eliminated back in 2004, 2005. The TPP revenue made up almost 30% of our revenue. Now the reimbursement of about $5.6 million, that's still 12% of our general fund revenue. That equates to about 8 mils if we were to equate that to a levy. And another piece that isn't being talked about as much in the news is that, you know, 11% of our permanent improvement fund, $500,000 is TPP reimbursement as well, and that would be part of the phase out as well. As I mentioned, our real estate values increased, which led to a nice bump in our revenue. On the Class 1 side, agricultural increased a little bit, whereas the residential decreased, so that was pretty much an offset, so no major change in Class 1. Class 2 would be our commercial property values. We had a significant increase there, about $7 million. And then our public utility personal, that's things like power lines, gas lines, those kinds of things. We had about a $6.9 million increase there. So that led to a nice increase in revenue. For fiscal year 15, we had about a $387,000 increase in real estate taxes and an additional $139,000 in PUP taxes. So that was a significant increase. Most other revenue lines were pretty much on target. The one that I didn't put on the slide, that it is a significant change to the forecast. We have energy conservation notes that show up on the forecast. That's where we've done an energy conservation project. The savings from those changes for putting in more efficient lights or whatever the case would be pays off that debt over time. That debt just kind of keeps rolling, and at some point you've got to pay it off. So we've decided to pay that off in May. So that means there will be no rollover note this time around, so that means the revenue that was going to be coming in there goes away. We're paying it off, so that $395,000 comes out of the forecast. And the good news is, we're getting the benefit of that savings, and you know we'll be done paying debt off out of the 5-year forecast. In December, we've got one other small payment to make, and then we'll be done. So that's good news. Go ahead. Okay, looking at on the expenditure side, wages and benefits make up 83% of our expenditures. For fiscal year 15, we're pretty much on target, 99.06%. But when we're talking $50 million, even a percent makes it's a significant number. Wages were pretty much right on. The biggest variance was in our benefits, and this is. The 1% was a savings. So the benefits side, our insurance premium renewal, we had projected 8%. That came in at 3.4%. That equates to $160,000 savings. And we also received a refund from the Bureau of Workers' Comp, a little over $100,000. So in the benefits side, we saved $260,000 this year. Some of the other lines, you know, they're pretty much on target, but under slightly. It just kind of added up to a significant number. For instance, in purchase services, our electric budget is significantly under this year. Supplies are coming in under. In total, on the expenditure side, we're looking at a savings of almost $440,000. So that's good news for the bottom line. Go ahead. Okay. Looking at the levy history, I think this points to the fiscal responsibility that we've done here. One new money issue passed since 1998, and you know, 1998 doesn't seem that long ago, but we're getting to the point where it's almost 20 years now. And if this current forecast holds up, we'll be to the point where it'll be a 20-year span with one new millage levy. So it just points to the fiscal responsibility here at Marysville. Go ahead. Risk factors in the forecast. Obviously, the state budget is the biggest risk factor. I think we're taking a conservative route, assuming the forecast currently assumes that the tangible personal property would be phased out. We're doing as much as we can to make sure that doesn't happen. Diane and I have been meeting at each building, informing our staff about what's going on, keeping them up to date. And we're doing a grassroots effort, letter writing campaign, email campaign, making phone calls to just various legislators, making them understand and aware of the impact on our district, the impact that the previous phase out already had. So then the further impact, the devastating impact that an additional phase out would have. Anything you want to add on the TPP side?
No, I think that's the biggest thing. We're asking staff to contact five other people, whether that's parents, if they live here, neighbors, to let them know, share the letter that we have shared with them, contact legislators and try to let them. I think that the releases that have come out lately have led people to believe that we're fine.
Right.
And to be responsible fiscally to our community, the whole picture is we're not okay, because in 2023 we don't get that money at all. And I know that probably seems like a long time, but the commitment I made with the situation I came into was to not let us get to that point ever again. And part of that is keeping an eye on the horizon, and so we don't want to lose track of where we're headed either, and make sure that people are well aware of what the impact is.
What form do you think a permanent solution would take, Todd? Like some of these letters that we're starting to encourage people to send out, do we even specify what form the permanent solution would take?
The group we're part of, the CFFO, the Coalition for Fiscal Fairness in Ohio, that's a group of other districts that are similarly significantly impacted by a potential TPP phase out, and they actually have lobbyists that work on their behalf, as well as a consulting group that works on the financial side. They've prepared an amendment that would do exactly that, and gave that to the legislatures, so that the legislature didn't have to come up with a creative solution. Here it is.
Okay.
And really, the basis of honestly the common sense solution is that when the TPP went away, the state replaced it with the CAT tax, the commercial activity tax, and the promise that was made at that point is the purpose of this commercial activity tax, and I believe that the number was 70% of that was going to go towards keeping the reimbursement in place to hold schools harmless that were losing TPP dollars. Currently, the CAT tax generates over $1 billion, which is, I think currently it's generating three times more than what would be needed to continue these TPP reimbursements. So that's our message to the legislature, is keep that promise. The money's there. You just have to allocate it as it was promised to be allocated. And the slide there mentions if the TPP phase out were to take place, it start decreasing by about $700,000 per year, and we'd be totally phased out by 2023. As I mentioned, the state budget does currently propose some additional funding on the foundation side. We don't know what's going to be after fiscal years 16 and 17, so there's two biennial budgets in this forecast, which, you know, really just adds to the uncertainty. On the expenditure side, College Credit Plus, that's, you know, basically an unfunded mandate. We've estimated that's going to add $270,000 to our purchase service line next year and beyond. College Credit Plus is a program where, you know, in the past, students were take a class and receive college credit for that class. They would receive that credit at a much reduced rate compared to what they would be charged at a college, and we were able to charge that tuition for that. With this new law in place, no longer would schools be allowed to charge tuition, and that's the potential impact for Marysville, and it's really, you know, kind of based on the enrollment. And you know, I guess it's easy to look at the forecast. I guess before I mention that, one thing I forgot to mention. We talked in October. We did a forecast, and then we did an all-day, everyday kindergarten forecast. So this forecast now does include the impact of all-day, everyday kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We've reduced the tuition revenue. Mm-hmm. There was about $200,000 that we reduced. On the bright side, we did also pass the open enrollment policy as well. So we're also including revenue for open enrollment next year as well. So that's going to offset that loss in revenue significantly. And then we've also added in the cost of staffing, and transportation, and those kinds of things for the implementation of all-day, everyday kindergarten. As I was going to mention, it's easy to look at that ending balance that's very positive and very healthy throughout the forecast. But as I mentioned, with the TPP phase out, as you get towards the end of the forecast, even though some of the earlier years actually may improve compared to October just because of that potential formula revenue increase, with the TPP phase out, the out years get worse compared to October, and it gets worse faster as the TPP goes away. So we still definitely need to continue to monitor our expenses and, you know, not just look at the short term and not just look at that ending balance as we go. That's it. Any questions?
I just want to comment that, you know, when you talk about monitoring your expenses, the fact that you've done such a good job, that our district has done such a good job in cutting expenses down to those bare minimums, I mean, it's wonderful, but it does put us at risk, you know. So, I mean, there's really not anything to cut at this point. I mean, I feel like we've really done a nice job of getting a lot of bang for our buck. So, but thanks. That's a great job on the five-year forecast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So if you gave a two-sentence summary to our students who have to give a report, what would you give as a two-sentence summary?
Spot, huh? I would say that, you know, we're in, you know, our healthy financial situation, but the potential state budget, you know, it could definitely have a devastating impact on the long term.
Well done.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you repeat that?
If you need to know what TPP and CAT are, we'll be happy to answer that question after.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Did you want to, were you going to talk at all about bonds or?
Nothing to update at this point.
Okay. All right, let's see. I'm up next. Board President's report. I just want to start with a reminder. Well, no, first, I really would like to start with congratulating Mrs. Mankins and our whole staff for that Chamber Award, because that really was phenomenal. I was at a meeting this morning, and someone just said, wow. Yeah, I was at a meeting this morning, this guy says, when I read that a school district got Business of the Year, he goes, I was floored. And so I know that it's the result of a lot of great collaboration with all the partners, but it started with the idea with you and your group that you pulled together of people to dream. And so thank you very much. That's a nice honor. And then, let's see, we've got the Board Leadership Institute coming up on May 1st and 2nd. I'm not sure if anybody could, okay, you signed up. I'm planning to go too. And I think they did send out a little bulletin that gave an idea of some of the breakout sessions. So we can work on that and make sure that we try and cover as many as possible. I wanted to thank everybody who has been contacting the legislators. I know Mr. Smith has done that. I've sent some letters myself, and I just think that that is making a big difference, and we'll just keep on keeping on in that area. And then this month I thought it'd be kind of fun to do some building note highlights, because, again, I read through those, and I think, man, we are doing some amazing things in this district, and not everybody has the ability to go and visit the buildings and you know, see firsthand what's going on out there. But I just wanted to kind of second on the high school you brought. You made a point about the Night of Japanese Culture, and I was able to attend that, and I thought it was really cool because they had people from the Japanese consulate in Detroit came because they were so excited that we were starting this program here in Marysville. And they actually got up, and they received a Marysville Schools T-shirt, and that was pretty cool. And at the Early College High School, the Marysville Movie Nights are going to be presenting a check for over, I think, $1,100 to the Honor Flight program. And they also have a small group of students who are working with Rocky Grimes to create motorized therapeutic vehicles. That's pretty cool. BMS, in their report, Bunsell Middle School, they said that next year they're going to be revising their master schedule to offer more high school credits for eighth graders. And I also noticed they really do a great job monitoring and counseling those middle school students. And, you know, for any of you who have children who have gone through those middle school years, they're tough. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that they work with Job and Family Services, and they brought in some people from the Drug Free Youth Coalition and had sessions with some students that they thought maybe needed a little bit of support. And so I appreciate them doing that. And then I was just at Creekview, I think it was just yesterday, and they had their sixth grade students participate in the Ohio Mathematics League contest, and their top five scorers formed a team, and their team ended up having one individual placed first in the region and 14th in the state, and as a team, they placed second in the region and 12th in the state. They also have a lot of exciting ideas for new programs next year, so I'm not going to say anything. I wouldn't want to steal their thunder. And then I was in, I think, just about every elementary school over the past month. I was trying to get all of the buildings visited. And one thing I noticed in their building notes is that they really do a great job of professional development. And so if they have teachers that maybe have taken some classes or received some training from other specialists, they come in and share that with the other staff. And they're really focusing on incorporating design challenges in their lessons and better utilizing technology. And so really, I think it's overall, it's just so exciting to hear about the collaboration that's going on within each building and between the buildings. And also, I want to point out that every visit that I've made, I've heard really nice things about our board office staff and how supportive they've been, like in the budget process, in the budgeting process, and with technology, with testing, and Jonathan, and so. And also that focus on the district strategic plan comes up at every meeting. So I just really appreciate all the work that's going on there. And that's it for my report. Now we have finally, the High Point report.
Wow.
Mr. Decco.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you.
Hello.
What a fun night it's been, right?
It has been.
Hopefully my report's not too anticlimactic. We'll start with Dr. Price, the superintendent's update. He presented last month at a conference, he talked about the impact of middle school in terms of career tech education, and then the 6 through 12. I understand it went pretty well. College Credit Plus contract, he's been meeting with Rhodes State representatives to kind of iron that out for the 2015-2016 school year. You've heard me talk about this task force. He's collaborating with Paul Benedetti, he's with the Logan County Chamber, trying to understand the needs of the employers and how to make sure that we have a workforce that's ready for those jobs that are so critical for our economy. I think I mentioned last month that Dr. Rick Smith will become our new superintendent, so they're starting that transition. I believe Dr. Price will leave in July, but I've heard that perhaps he may move that up a month, so maybe Mr. Smith may take the helm in June versus July. So I'll know more pretty soon on that. No special financial issues. Everything looks really sound from that regard. In terms of the main campus update from the director, Shelley Sweeney, they're working on possible internships with some employers. So that's interesting. It's really important to get some of that field experience. So we're working with some of the manufacturers. High Point did receive a visit from the state treasurer's office. They were recognized for providing quality career technical education, so it was an honor that they received. And then the program placed first in the Central Environmental Nursery Trade Show. So I think there were five schools that competed, and High Point received first place. So that was pretty nice. Satellite update. The enrollment is really strong. There's over 1,500 students that are enrolled in the different satellite programs. And they're trying to grow some of those programs. Specifically, Bell Fountain will offer the manufacturing program next year. And then Kenton's going to really offer three new programs. It's manufacturing, allied health and nursing, and then the information technology. So Deb's been working hard with those partner schools to get those programs in place. Some good news for some students here at Marysville. I hope I pronounced their names properly. But we had two students from this district receive first place. The first individual was Joshua Richlich. I hope that was right, Joshua.
Yeah, it is.
It was?
Yeah,
Richlich. Oh, awesome.
Wow.
He placed first in the architectural drafting at the Skills USA Regional Competition. And then Broderick Medley placed first in technical drafting. So kudos to those two folks. And there is a state competition sometime in this month in April. So hope good luck for those folks. They're also the Bunsell Middle School, Amy Nickel, reported out at Phoenix. Jepson has been selected as a winner of a $1,000 college scholarship through the CBI division of Ohio. So that's good. And then two students of the month, Joshua Ferguson from Bell Fountain. He was recognized as a second-year student in multimedia marketing. And then Destiny Johnson from Urbana was recognized in the allied health and nursing. So kind of short and sweet. Any questions?
Exciting news.
Thank you.
Okay, legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Well, Todd, in his presentation hit on a lot of things that are currently from the state legislature in terms of the budget, TPP, and so forth. But there's some other things that are happening. Also, the State Board of Education voted 11-7 to change the minimum operating standards for schools. And that provides... Their approach was to provide school districts with the opportunity to decide elementary librarians, art teachers, music teachers, and so on. And that current law required that for every 1,000 students, you had to have 5 of 8 various positions filled, and that now goes away. And
I can't give you the exact number, but we far exceed the
5 of 8
for 1,000.
And I think art, music, phys ed, and those kinds of things, our community is recognized.
Library, nurse,
right.
Often in that category.
Counselors.
Mm-hmm.
The House passed Substitute Bill 64, and that goes to the Senate. And the Senate, if what I've read, is looking at, they're going to start with this year's expenditures in education. And so you've got them taking a different, not the governor's budget, not the one that the House passed, but a different starting point to try to put this thing together. And I think that speaks to Todd's point that we don't know, because the Senate is free to do whatever it is that they want to do, and then they in the House will have to try to put some things together. So it really is important for people in the community to encourage their state legislators, others in the community to support a resolution of the funding issue in the state and get us to a point where we have some stability. I think the fact that every 2 years school districts don't know how much money they're going to have to spend, and the law requires them to make a 5-year forecast, creates inconsistent positions. But in the state budget proposal passed by the House, there was a permission for students entering high school next year to take career-based math class instead of Algebra 2. And whether that will stand there or not. Testing is also on the agenda. Members of the House are suggesting putting some specific time limits, 3 hours. There's some tests that are exempt, but 3 hours of testing. There were also some suggestions that Department of Education be prohibited from paying for any testing and so forth. So, and there was a report to the state legislature from PART that said that they are looking at ways to address the length of time. So there's a lot of discussion going on about that. Got a couple of other things here. House Bill 146 was introduced to require the instruction of cursive handwriting. House Bill 137 was introduced to require health curriculum to include the positive effects of organ and tissue donation. Additional legislation has been submitted about community and charter schools to provide additional oversight on that. The message that I've been trying to get to is the College Plus, which is you go to the state legislature, you listen to people in the legislature say they are opposed to unfunded mandates and they want to stamp those out, and then they vote for College Plus that requires school districts to pick up tuition costs that we have in the past been able to pass through. So, things are normal. So, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Safety and Drug Committee report.
We just had a meeting Monday. Elected officers with Mr. Jonathan is on now. we talked about and approved budgets for this year. They're doing the drug take-back programs now at the different sheriff's departments all throughout the whole county. Discussed a lot about the legislation of marijuana being on the ballot. So that is a big thing right now that... just like we're doing with the letters out, mm-hmm. letters need to go out stating that we don't want it in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so that's currently what the big issue is right now, trying to get that passed.
Okay.
So, did I miss anything, Jonathan? Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay, moving on to our next item. I need a motion to approve the minutes from our March 19th meeting. A motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next item is our resolution for sewer line and demolition work. I'm sure if any of you have driven down Raymond Road, you know that they've been working on that, so we're now at the point where we need to tie in. So I need a motion to approve the work and demolition of the Raymond Wastewater Treatment Plant. Motion by Mrs. Powers, second by Mr. Smith. Do you have any questions or comments? Okay,
I mean, I know I did. I asked a lot of questions to Mike White back there, and he did a great job answering them because I felt like there was some variance in some of those bids. But I think it looks like everything's right in line, and we'll be anxious to get that work done.
How many companies submitted?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're lucky. This company is real close to the site, and so that's going to be a real benefit for us. And so, when is that work supposed to get started?
June 8th.
And how long do they think it'll take?
About 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Will it interrupt the operation of the school, or will it impact on the use of the building?
Not the summer time, not rain. Yeah.
All right.
Right.
They would still be off to the side there, closer to the township house than actually the building.
Okay. And roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have need a motion to approve the treasurer action items. I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Anything special, Todd?
The items are just the usual items. I would point out, though, just in the spirit of volunteerism of this meeting, the Mill Valley PTO will give a sizable donation to Mill Valley Elementary for updating some technology items there.
Great. Okay, then roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next up, we have a separate motion here to recommend to approve Amy Pleasant, a teacher, for a one-year contract, and we've pulled that out separately due to a relationship on the board. So do we have a motion to approve this contract? Motion by Ms. Powers. Second?
Second
by Mr. Smith. And roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Abstain.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have our superintendent items. So I need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant. I will second that. Diane?
Well, you can see we've already started to hire staff. Feedback from the principals, we did get an earlier start this year, and they feel like some of the candidates, not feel like they are very high quality. I've met, and Jonathan's met with all of the new hires, so we're excited to have them on for action. As well, we have two job share opportunities for approval. Our contract does allow if two people come forward with a proposal and want to share a position that we are able to do that. So we actually have two job shares in two different buildings taking place. So it creates some flexibility for people who one person's going to be a new mom of twins. And so we're excited to keep it's a way to keep quality people on board and engaged. So we're happy to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And certainly we have some retirements. Karen Brown at the high school, who has been here quite a while. I tried to find the years, and there was kind of conflicting information. So I know she has been here quite some time. So wish her well in her choice to retire. Judy Herman as well, retiring on this as well. And then you have contract recommendations on this quite a lengthy list.
Right. Okay. Any questions?
No, I'd just like to say that the people that are retiring have done yeoman service in the district, and we're very indebted to them for all the time and effort and everything they've put into it. And I was sitting down here trying to think how long Karen has been around.
Forever.
Well, it's
not forever, but a long time.
Well, and the job of a high school secretary is not easy, right? So little credit sometimes and lots of work, so certainly appreciate it.
And, you know, it's just, you know, all of the unplanned, unexpected things that walk in the door that just show up, and she has handled them with tremendous grace. And I know that Judy has been an aide, and she's worked with kids and that have needs, and that in itself is a difficult situation. And I think it's a case where these two people, we will have somebody that will fill in their positions, but will not take their place.
Well said, Mr. Smith. Very valuable employees. And I'm excited about the job share, too, because I think it's a win-win. You know, I mean, you're going to have two excellent teachers working together, and they're going to be able to share their ideas about the students and their needs. And so I think that's really wonderful. Okay, do we have a roll call?
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next up, do we have any comments or questions from board members?
You start with me.
Mr. Smith.
All right. I think that, you know, seeing all the Good Apple Award winners tonight, we know that our school district gives kids, our students, an opportunity to grow. And tonight we saw where members of our community come in and assist in that student growth. And I think it speaks to the reality that a school district is more than the walls. It's the people, it's the volunteers, it's everybody in the community. That this is a collaborative effort to provide a quality education. The Chamber Award was amazing. I was really taken aback that we were selected, but fantastic honor, because I think you started out when you accepted the award by saying people don't think of school districts as being a business. And there are certainly some aspects of it that are business, and other aspects it may not be. It was a tremendous recognition for all of the effort by all of the people involved in our school and, again, in our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will ditto everything that Dick said and to say how awesome it is to live in a community that all of this takes place, because to see everybody here tonight and to get that award and everything, it is it's just amazing to be a part of it. You know, my kids were raised here, now my grandkids get to have all the benefits of the system as well, and it couldn't be any better.
I was able to go to the choir concert on Monday night at the high school and really enjoyed that. And was the swing choir performed as well as the mini swingers from Bunzold, and they had a cappella groups perform and solo. And I was very pleased not just at how well they sang, but the community support, how many people came out and how enthusiastic they were. And I just wanted to mention that I wish them well this weekend. Mm-hmm. I believe they're going to be in Chicago competing at the national level. Also, I've been asked to help with the Creekview Choir when they do their concert in May to play piano with the choir, which I agreed to do because, one, I think it's going to be fun, and, two, I went to the concert last fall and just felt so for her, the choir director, directing over 100 kids at the piano. So I'm looking forward to helping out. And I also just wanted to mention that there was some concern about safety of the walking. A lot of it's coming from the fact that the bus routes are changing a little bit next year. And we talked about it at the last meeting. So I did some work on that. I talked to a lot of kids that go to the high school, a lot of parents. I had a meeting with Diane that was very useful. And I did actually walk it myself with my wife. We live in Mill Valley, and we measured it's 1.8 miles from where we live to where my stepson will be going to the early college high school. Mm-hmm. And he will be walking. Now, when it's cold and dark in the morning in the middle of winter, we might show him some grace, those of us who chauffeur in our family. But my general reaction to all that work is that walking to the high school is as safe as walking anywhere in Marysville. Okay, and we need to keep it safe, and we need to keep informed and alert and do whatever we can to keep it safe for these kids, including, you know, paying attention to the sidewalk issues, training the kids and the parents how to walk safely, and just really keep up with that and do everything we can to keep all of our kids as safe as possible within the constraint that you have to have a limit where there's no bus service.
Right.
And it should be applied consistently. So I just encourage everybody to keep attentive about that, and let's work together to keep our kids safe.
I don't have anything additional.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
I would just remind everyone of the importance of the TPP issue, and probably in the next week or two, we'll be coming out with a new letter that will be focusing towards the Senate and trying to impact their decisions. So whether it's staff or community or whoever it would be, we're going to try to get as many voices and as loud a voice as we can.
I was going to say the same thing. Understand the group of schools impacted by TPP has shrunk. As time has dwindled pieces of TPP off, that pool now is smaller that's impacted. So it's more important that our voices are louder to make sure that we're heard. 285 students enrolled in all-day, everyday kindergarten already for next year. So we're continuing to monitor that. So we're in pretty good shape. Navin has 77 kids alone, so we're pretty excited about that. Also wanted to say it's the financial forecast makes me smile, and I haven't always been able to say that since I've been here. So certainly love where we're headed and want to keep an eye on that end game in 2023. And also on my notes, wanted to wish the show choir best of luck in Chicago as well. Certainly an honor, a well-recognized honor and achievement for that group of kids. Certainly they represent our district with high-quality performances, great kids, so excited to wish them well in Chicago this weekend, too.
Great. Well, I'll ditto everything that... I wanted to thank Mrs. McInnes and Early College High School again for hosting our meeting. And I just think back of all of the wonderful awards we've had tonight. I think of those students and how proud I am that they were academically strong, great role models for our community, and so I just couldn't be prouder of that. The Good Apple Awards goes without saying. I also attended that choir concert, and it was the line to get in at 6:30. It started at 7, and I got there at 6:35, and the line was snaked past the concession stand to get into that auditorium. And they had two performances, so that was pretty cool. So good luck to them. It's also on May 8th, the high school band is going to have a jazz night, so if you are out and about, you can go and help support the band program. And I believe Navin is going to, their second grade class is going to have their wax museum on May 6th from 9:30 to 10:30, so that's always kind of fun. The kids get to pretend that they're some wax figure, I think. Also, I just listening to all the comments from our board members, I'm really grateful for how you approach your responsibility as a board member, and I think our community should be grateful of all of the work that you've done. So thank you very much for that. And also, because I've started this thing about what national month it is or something, the Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has declared that April is the National Garden Month. And I thought, how appropriate when we came in here and we saw all of these plants here. And I also brought some 4 o'clock seeds from my garden last year to each of you. So they usually start blooming in July, and I'll be coming around to make sure that you have some 4 o'clock. And they smell really good, and they don't bloom during the day. They bloom like in the morning and early evening. So that's all I have. Now I need a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of Ohio Revised Code 121.22G1.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. We are in executive session at 8:54. And I'm sure we can take a little bit of a break before we go into this.
There's going to be no action.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. There will be no action taken after the executive.